We've come now to the time in the book of Acts where the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas has concluded. They will go on more, but this is the first one. We've been working our way through that. And you remember that they were sent out by which church? Do you remember the name of the church? The church at Antioch. The church at Antioch, that was the sending church for them. Oh, by the way, speaking of sending church, another thing you could pray for this week is the Caleb Turner family. They're getting COVID tests done Tuesday as well. Caleb, Abby, and Carson, all three have to have a COVID test. And then we pray that that will be negative. And then they can fly on Thursday, Abby and Carson, for the first time over to Uganda for a planning trip, survey trip, about where God will have them. So for their future ministry, they'll be coming back about June 7 or 8, somewhere in there, and then take some time to get everything together. But you can pray about that as well. So Paul and Barnabas, though, their first missionary journey is complete. And they've come back to Antioch to report. And again, you may remember at times at Anchor Baptist Church, we have had missionaries come to our church here that we've been supporting for numbers of years. And the purpose of them coming to Anchor Baptist the next time wasn't to say, you know, hey, can you take us on? We need you to support us, pray for us, we're going to go, blah, blah, blah. But it was to say, this is what God has done over the last 3 years or 4 years or whatever it may be. And we thank you for supporting the work, praying for us. But here's what God has been doing. Well, you can kind of imagine, if you can imagine that way, that's what's happening here with Paul and Barnabas. They've come back to Antioch. Notice the verse 28 of chapter 14, just right up the page there. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And so they have come back to Antioch. They're going to be there for a while. I've written down in my Bible right there, a long time. I wrote down discipleship there. And so that takes time, doesn't it, to be a disciple, to train someone, for us to be disciples as well. And so the theme of the message today, and I'll give you this, and then we're going to pray, and I pray that God puts it all together for us through His Holy Spirit. And here's the theme, it's a little unusual, better not mess this up. Better not mess this up. Heavenly Father, thank you for your leading in this text. Thank you for the book of Acts that we can learn from, that we want to have a first century church here at Anchor Baptist, and that we want to learn from the good things and then the things that we don't want, they practiced and got corrected on. Lord, may we also be willing to be corrected. And so we lift up all of the requests today. We lift up the need of the hour, which, Lord, please, we need your power, speaker and listener alike. Empty us of ourselves, fill us with your Spirit, and please receive all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So they have returned to Antioch, and you'll remember that the journey that they took involved, and I'm not going to review it all for time's sake, but the journey that they took involved going to numerous places. One of the places that they went included an area called Galatia. Does that sound familiar? Galatia, the city of Galatia. You might recognize that from a book in the Bible that we have, the book of Galatians. And we're going to refer to that here in just a little bit. Now, what's changed from the time that they left Antioch in a great way, or in, like in magnitude, it's changed. They've established a new ministry, if you will. Isn't it great? Over 20 years' time, there's always something more that we can be doing for the Lord. There's always something new that we can be doing, but it's the same message. You know, get the new look from the old book, right? Get the new look from the Bible. But as time goes on, God gives us more opportunities to do things. The Patch Club, brand new. Patch Club's been around a long time, but it just wasn't the right time until this year for Anchor Baptist. And so, a new ministry. Praise the Lord for new opportunities that God gives us. Well, this new ministry was not received by everyone within the church. This new ministry was to preach to and welcome pagan converts. Who were the pagan converts, Pastor Turner? Well, many of you know. The pagan converts were Gentiles. This was brand new to the church. Obviously, we know that Peter went to Cornelius, but even Peter went kicking and screaming. Not really. But, you know, it had to have a dream and have that food coming down, you know. We talked about that. And so now as Paul and Barnabas go out, here is the first fully, for the most part, first fully Gentile church, the church in Galatia. Not only were they winning people to Christ, but they were discipling them. They were training them and teaching them the things of the Lord. But again, it wasn't smiled on by everyone in the church at Antioch, as we just read a moment ago. First churches were all Hebrews, Jews. And now they come back and say, guess what? We've got a church full of Gentiles. And we find here in our text that there is a group of Pharisees. Now, it does say there, though, which believed. Verse 4, you see that? Pharisees which believed said, hold it. There's got to be more to this than just admit, believe, and forever receive. They didn't get to hear that patch song. They're going to have to keep all these laws that we've been keeping. So, you know, again, we sometimes think one way, and I'm guilty of that, okay? But you have to try to think like a Jew for a minute, right? Think like one of these Hebrews, if you will. They've been keeping all this and doing all this, and they've been circumcised, and they've been keeping all these laws, and yes, none of that saved them. They got saved the same way we get saved. They admit they're a sinner. They believe in Jesus Christ, receive Him as their Savior. Same way. But now, hold it. They could accept that amongst all the other Jews that lived the same way that they did. But now here's somebody over here in Galatia that's as pagan as the day is long, that eats meat offered to idols. And they can get saved the same way as us, and nothing else has to happen? I don't like that. That's basically what's happening here. And so what devolves out of this is the first church council meeting. They have to take the meeting and they have to go to Jerusalem, again, the headquarters, if you will, and they have to go there and they have to work it out. But we're gonna get into this here a little bit further in just a minute, but I want you to go with me quickly over to we're going to look at it within the outline. So let's just jump right into the outline. So my theme today is better not mess this up. There's great conflict in the church. By the way, conflict in the church can happen very easily. Okay, we need to know how to handle them. And I think we learn a lot from this one. Okay, it would appear that the wrong people got saved. You know, I've said that to people before because someone said it to me. You can't witness to the wrong person. You can't give a gospel tract to the wrong person. Now, the timing of the Lord and leading of the Lord, when God's in it, follow the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. But that's what we see here. So let's look at this. I have 4 points I'd like to give you, and let's let God speak to us regarding this theme. Number one, we see adding to the gospel. Adding to the gospel. Do you see that in verse number one? The Bible says there that there was a group of people that came down from Judea to the church at Antioch, and they said this, unless you're circumcised like Moses, you cannot be saved. Oh, wait a minute now. That doesn't sound like for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse number 5, but there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. So we see, number one, an adding to the gospel. Go with me to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Galatians chapter 2, verse 12. God's word says, let's read verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. This is Paul, God in his face, because he was to be blamed For before that, certain came from James. James is the pastor, the half-brother of Jesus. He's the pastor, okay, in Jerusalem. He did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. Fearing them, Peter had no problem until the elite came, right? Fearing them, and I wrote down beside fearing them, peer pressure. The wrong kind, which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. We read these verses a few weeks ago as we were working through it when Peter was called of the Lord. And so the reason why I take you back there, because this is the same time period from Acts chapter 15 and the first missionary journey, the church started in Galatia. And that's exactly what that is. That's Paul writing back to the church, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. But the two are synonymous in time, if you will. The preaching in Galatians. And I would encourage you, by the way, to read the book of Galatians as well. And it will help you as we journey through the book of Acts. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Because Peter is a main character in this going to the Gentiles. Remember the dream? We talked about that a moment ago. Look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily bring in damnable heresies, even denying that the Lord... even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. False prophets, false teachers within the church. And Peter says, beware of these false teachers. I like to go back to Acts chapter 15 as we consider this adding to the gospel. See, the way I view this, as God teaches me, it's taught me that there was a debate here, but it wasn't simply about circumcision or whether or not someone should eat something or not. This was the byproduct of this debate. What was the crux of the matter? At the center of the matter was, did Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection supply everything that was needed for someone to be saved? This is why I say, we better not mess this up. And in 2021, I want to warn you that there are still people that call themselves religious, and there are still people that are preaching, in a sense, and teaching and spreading false doctrine and heresy today. In 2021, it hasn't stopped. And the main point that comes to each and every one of these is, they're adding to the gospel. They're adding to the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I submit to you that you cannot find in the Word of God where anything adding to the gospel that you still have the gospel. In fact, here's what you have. You have another gospel, which is not of God. And so I want to challenge us at Anchor Baptist Church. And if you're listening today, I am not against you. I am not against maybe a church or a place that you attend. But folks, there are numerous places all over the Lower Mainland and all over the world that did not teach the pure gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you get saved by grace, but then you have to do these things. You have to keep the sacraments. That's just as bad as saying they got to keep the whole law. You have to be baptized. You have to this or do that or do this or do that. And I challenge us today that we not add to the gospel. And that's what we see here right at the bat. I mean, you know what? It should have been a time of great rejoicing. It should have been a time of celebration. Isn't it amazing that even in the midst of the church, even in the midst of the work of the Lord, and again, I do say, let's think for a minute, though, of how it's been and try to take into consideration here. But this is going against, of course, what the pure gospel is. Maybe it was a time of teaching and a time of learning. And obviously it takes longer for some to learn. Yes, I understand that. But this is what's happening. There's an adding to the gospel, verses 1 and 5. Number 2, though, praise the Lord. Not only is there an adding to the gospel, but praise the Lord, we do see an amazing response to the gospel. An amazing response to the gospel. Look at verse 3. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria. I like this, don't you? So what's happened? All right. Verse 2 says there was no small dissension, meaning it was a big one, between Paul and Barnabas and these teachers that came down from Judea. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you know, they couldn't come to an agreement. They said, okay, we got to go to Jerusalem. And I love what it says here. On the way to Jerusalem, they passed through these two communities, Phinehas and Samaria. I love this. Declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And I've written down in my Bible, that's Galatia. And what happened? They caused great joy. Now, in Jerusalem, there was dissension. There was disputation. There was arguing. And on the way to Jerusalem to hash it out and pound it all out and figure it all out, they can't help but tell people, yeah, we've got a church full of Gentiles in Galatia. They received the word of God. They're saved. And this is what God did. And the Bible says that there in those places, great joy came unto all the brethren. And I want to encourage you today, when we know of someone getting saved, when we hear of the missionary giving us a report, when we read the prayer letter, and I know you can't, I can't hear you shouting at home, but when we hear these prayer letters on Wednesday night, I hope you're not just ho-humming it and just halfway falling asleep during the missions letter. I hope we're excited on the edge of our seat and praising God for the advancement of the gospel all over the world through the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. Great joy! When's the last time you shouted because somebody got saved? When's the last time you shouted because God gave you the opportunity to tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, it's exciting to see God do great and mighty. It was exciting the other day, and I know we didn't put your phone number on the cards. You're probably thankful for that. We could add yours next time if you want to be included in the calls. But it was exciting. I mean, literally, I was at one point, I hung up, and within 2 minutes, it rang again. And I hung up, and about an hour, it rang again. And that happened several times, and we got one of these postcards, and we got one of these postcards. And you know what? I just kept rejoicing. I kept messaging Pastor Nathan, we have another one. We have another one. We have another one. Praise the Lord. Now, they weren't getting saved. But God is working. And God is working in your life and in my life. And there's a great rejoicing that takes place. Then in verse 4, and when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Oh, I would have loved to have been there. Listening to Paul and Barnabas. Talking about their missionary journey. Talking about all that God had done in their life. What a time. What a time it will be in heaven when we get to sit beside people in heaven. Of course, the Lord Jesus is foremost and premier, so to speak, if you will. King of kings and Lord of lords. And I think we understand that today. And we'll praise him for all eternity. But I'm looking forward to meeting up with some of these village pastors in these remote places of the world that we never will meet. But there'll be a day in heaven where we'll get to be with them and be with others and hear about what God did in their life and hear about how these people came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And on it goes. And it will be praise to God for all eternity. I look forward to that day. We see, number one, there was an adding to the gospel. We see, number two, there was an amazing response to the gospel. And then, number three, we see there was an addressing the totality of the gospel. This takes place in verses 7 to 12. And addressing the totality of the gospel. Can you see Peter? I can see Peter. He's heard enough. He's heard enough. Look what it says. When there had been much disputing. You know, if I know Peter well enough, I don't know if he was sitting on the floor. I don't know what kind of seating arrangement they had back in that day. But if they had a chair, probably didn't, maybe a bench or something. I can only see Peter edging further and further to the edge of it. As it just, the yapping about it. And he can only handle so much, and that's it. Up goes Peter. Look at verse 7. Peter rose up. That's it. Men and brethren. And don't think he's got some soft-spoken voice. You know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us. God made choice. God saved the Gentile. God saved the Jew. Yes, God saved the Gentile. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel. He says, ye know. What's the problem? You know that God told me to go to Cornelius. And you know that God told Cornelius that I was coming. This was of God. Why do we want to stop what God is doing? Maybe that's a question you need to ask yourself today. Why would I want to stop what God is doing? What is God doing in your life today? Is there something in your life today that needs to be removed so that God can fully advance in your life how He wants to advance? You're limiting the Holy One of Israel? Peter says, this was of God. What is Peter saying? It wasn't my plan. I think if it was Peter, he wouldn't have gone to Cornelius. But God moved in his life, and he submitted to his life. And by the way, maybe there's something in your life today that you can look back on and say, I'm so glad God moved in my life, because if God hadn't moved in my life, by the way, God's moving in 110,000 people's lives all over this area with just one postcard. I'm telling you, church, let's keep praying. God is moving through a postcard. It might be the first touch someone's getting of the gospel. What is that? That's God working. That's like Peter said, God made choice. God is not willing that any should perish. That the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Notice, and God. Don't miss this. Peter is not making it about Peter. The gospel is not about you. The gospel is not about Anchor, Anchor Baptist Church. The gospel is not about the pastor. The gospel is about God. Keep it that way. No one has to meet my expectation to become a Christian. No one has to meet your expectation to be a Christian. We come to salvation. We come to Christianity through the death, burial, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus Christ. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost. He gave it to the Gentiles, even as he did unto us, and put no difference. Who put no difference? Peter? No. He's still talking about God. He's saying, hey, this was God's plan. God put it in my mouth. God brought me to the Gentiles. God gave them the Holy Ghost, just like he gave us. And it was God, in verse 9, that put no difference between us and them. It was God who purified their hearts by faith. It was God who purified your hearts by faith. And now, therefore, why tempt ye God? What a question. You're trying to put a yoke around the neck of the disciples. What is that yoke? The law. If somebody thinks they have to keep the law to get saved, that's going to be a yoke forever, because they're never going to be able to keep the law. And so Peter is saying, why are you trying to put this yoke that we had on us, thinking that we had on us for the rest of our life, that we had on us in earlier before we came to Christ, why are you seeking to put that on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we, isn't this a great statement, were able to bear? Peter, this is what you call it. Boom. You're trying to put a yoke on these Gentiles that you couldn't keep, and I couldn't keep, and our fathers couldn't keep. So why are you putting it on them when it's all of God? I think this is a powerful speech by Peter. But we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. So, he's addressing the totality of the gospel. What does that mean? What is the totality of the gospel? And that simply means it's for everyone. It's for everyone. It's for the Jew. It's for the Gentile. It's for the religious. It's for the non-religious. The gospel is total for everyone. And then we did not read these verses, but from verses 13 to 27, we see an agreeing together for the cause of the gospel. I love the beginning of verse 12. Look at that. Then all the multitude kept silence. This is after Peter got up and boldly said, God was in this. That silenced it. No more disputing. No more dissension. Silence. And gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. Among the Gentiles. Oh, so God does miracles among the Gentiles too, of course. Verse 13. And after they had held their peace, we learned about that earlier, didn't we? James answered, saying, so now the pastor stands up. Pastor James. Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, another name for Peter, hath declared how God. So Peter isn't the pastor. Peter just said, I can't handle this anymore. I'm speaking right now. And God used him. The pastor stands up and basically says, Peter was right. God used him at first to visit the Gentiles, to take out of them a people for his name, and a people for his name. Don't miss that. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, after this I will return. And now he quotes from the book of Amos. I will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Hold your place there and go back to Amos 9. Amos, Obadiah, Hosea, Joel, Amos, the farmer, right? I'm getting him mixed up with another minor prophet. Amos 9, verse 11, says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen. Heathen. Who are the heathen? Gentiles. These people in this council knew about this passage. Notice what it says. A group of people, the heathen, which are called by my name, saith the Lord that doeth this. Now flip back to Acts 15 at the end of verse 14. To take out of them a people for his name. That's you. That's me. We are a people saved out of for his name. Today, what are we called? We're called Christians. We carry his name. We live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so because of that, this is a testimony here that James is saying, hey, this was told to us by Amos. This is exactly what God said he was going to do. He was going to bring in a group of people from the pagan nations that would be called by his name. They would turn to the one true God. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord. Verse 17, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them from which among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. What this is saying, and everyone won't have the time to go into it, but what this is saying is that we want to encourage these Gentile brethren to respect their Jewish brethren and the certain maybe dietary laws that they have, and not to cause someone to stumble. And that's another biblical principle. That's what he's talking about there with the pollution of idols and from things strangled and from things blood. The fornication thing there is because adultery was just very common within that time period amongst the Gentiles there in Galatia. Obviously, that would be wrong anyway. Verse 22, then pleased it the apostles and elders with whom the whole church to send chosen men of their company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles. Their whole demeanor has changed now. In Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, this is what they wrote, verse 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words. There were some accusations, right? Subverting your soul, saying, ye must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. What does all of this mean for us? Here's what all it means for us. Number one, not in an outline, but number one, we need to make sure that we are preaching a pure gospel, adding nothing to it. And then number two, we need to realize that the power of the gospel is available to everyone. There is no one beyond the saving power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we should never look down our Pharisaical noses at someone who isn't what we are and think, how can they have the same gospel and salvation? They've done this, they've done that, they look like this, da 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 da. We're as guilty as the Pharisees in Acts 15 if we ever allow that attitude to come into our life or the ministry of Anchor Baptist Church. And God forbid that should ever happen. It would be better that it not even be around anymore if that were the case. I praise God for these early church soldiers. The Bible says there, what did it say? They hazarded their lives. What a testimony these men and women are in the first century church. And I pray God today that we too would consider the message of the gospel in 2021. And what are we doing? What are we doing to give it out? What are we doing to have it change our... By the way, the gospel isn't just for salvation. The gospel continues to work in your life and mine. I want to just say right before we pray for the invitation, are you listening right now and you don't know Christ as your Savior? Are you listening right now? And you, in fact, you know right now if you died, you would be in hell. You know right now that if you died tomorrow, suddenly. By the way, sometimes that's how death comes. Suddenly. Are you ready? You say, well, I got baptized when I was a baby. That's not in the Bible. I had a whole article here to read stuff to you about a certain group that tells us a lot of things that are needed to be saved. And I didn't feel like that was necessary. They're adding to the gospel. False teaching. No, we know from God's word that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. You can come to Christ right now and be saved. But you don't understand how many things I've done wrong in my life. That's not what keeps you out of heaven. What keeps you out of heaven is your not receiving or rejecting. What keeps us out of heaven is rejecting the gift that God has of eternal life through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you will miss heaven, is to reject God's gift. Why not receive Jesus Christ today? Go to your knees if you're able to. Just call out to Him and receive Him as your Savior. Yes, admitting you're a sinner and you deserve to go to hell. Realizing that Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And He ever liveth to make intercession for you. And turn to Him, accepting Him as the only way, the only truth, and the only life. Today could be your day of salvation. Stop trying and start trusting. By the way, that's the only way to live the Christian life too. Don't try, trust.